Blog Talk Radio.
You know what, real quick, before we get going or whatever, I have to say something about that intro music. For the people listeners, you're here, you're at UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information, check out all the stuff they have on there. We're making a concerted effort to try to get as much stuff up on that website as possible. Now, if it's an effort in futility, we don't know. We're still working on it. So just go over there, and if there's something that you see up there or you don't see, let me know so we can work on that. But I got with me today, of course, Sonia. We were just talking about the news. She says she has so much she might need a full 2 hours. So I don't know if we can accommodate that. But Sonia, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, just lovely. And I had some stuff queued up because Lance, I call him Lance Bully. That's what I have him under my phone, Lance Bully. But I think it's we're going to have to switch that up. But we got hot news. How's that? I was going to say, Lance has now agreed. We signed him under a multi-million dollar contract with the United Wrestling Council to be a permanent statute member of the UWC Radio Clan. So, Lance Bully, we congratulate you and we welcome you with open arms.
Hey guys, how's it going? Thank you so much for that introduction. I feel so pleasant and welcome. And yes, I am a part of the United Wrestling Council Radio, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be hearing a lot more of me. You probably won't be able to shut me up. Show me a good 2 hours. I might need an hour and a half just to at least get a little bit of what I got to say off my chest. But until then, probably, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate giving my all, and I can't wait to see what the future leads to.
We were talking before, Sonia, before you came on with us, we were talking before we went on the air. We were talking about managers and stuff like that. And we said, well, what about this guy? And then I said, well, he can't or she can't even take a power bomb through a hard plastic table neck first. So, hold on a second. I have a replay of that. He got picked up in the power bomb and then there it is. That's supposed to be impact. I don't know if he went through a metal table or whatever. Real quick, before I talk about that intro, music that I was going to talk about. Tell me a little bit about that because I can't remember where I was. I was somewhere and then one of my friends said, hey, did you see Lance go through a table? And I said, no, did he have a hardcore match? And I said, I don't. So when I saw it, I went, a la ma. It was, I don't know if they threw him out too far or he just overshot it. But dude, I seriously thought I was going to be visiting you in a wheelchair or whatever after that. I mean, that was the most vicious looking bump. I've been in the business for a long time. And when I saw that, I legitimately thought, dude, I don't think he's ever going to walk again. But lo and behold, I think it was 2 weeks later, I saw you at a show. So real quick before we continue on, tell us a little bit about what happened that day. I mean, did Buckeye just say, hey, I'm going to pick up and put you through a table, or did you get in his way, or tell us what happened?
Well, you know, with all due respect and all seriousness, you know, wrestling is a real dangerous sport, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If something's going to happen, you got to be planned and ready for it. You know, I put on weight for that match, you know. Even though I was going to be a manager, I put on weight because you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, that was one of those spots that I didn't know was going to happen. But, you know, I'm built like an ox, you know, so I'm ready for the impact, you know. And
right.
Even though I couldn't go through the plastic table, I definitely gave it my all. And that shatter sound, if you could play that back again, that's how my neck felt when it hit the table.
Well,
so,
well,
you know, I'm starting to never now, baby.
Yeah, it accordion because he picked you up and then it was just Phillip. So,
he split off the table and that was it.
But the thing is it caught you just right so that your head snapped back. And then when it snapped back and it hit the mat, it came forward again. So it was like, dude, it was like the best of both worlds. But, you know, people say, hey, man, if you're going to be a manager or a valet or something, you need to be able to expect that or whatever because it's not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. So, you know what, Nikki, even though I think Sonya made fun of this, we're going to put this real quick. Props to Lance for taking that. Here you go.
I knew it was
going to
be that one.
Thank you, guys.
I see that's
a flying locust.
Yes, some applause or a horde of locusts or whatever. But at least he didn't hear this. Right? So we're good. But anyways, real quick for the people listening to us, usually we put the Pulse photo commercial, but I'm going to put that on the 7:15 mark and the 7:45 mark. But we're talking about that opening, you know, and I've always, like, it just seems like it gets people going or whatever, but we were doing a show, this is years ago for OCCW, and this is when Del O was wrestling, and he made the mistake of leaving me in charge of all the music, so I just had everything stuff queued up and ready to go. So I put that song for him, and dude, you should have seen the redness in the face, and he was just getting ready to walk out the door. He turns around and goes, "Did you put that goddamn song?" And I went, "Dude, but it's yours." He goes, "Wait till I come back." So he went around. He chewed me out for a half hour. "You don't put that crap up there. I'm not, and I hate that UFC." So for some reason, every time I play that, I get the flashback. But you know, this day's going by or whatever. But I just think it's cool. So I'll leave it to Lance and Sonya. If you think of another intro music that you guys think would be better to get the people going, more than all ears to hear it. So I can't really go to Lance because he might pick something like Wide Open Spaces from the Dixie Chicks or something. or Sonya, because she'll pick like Sinead O'Connor or whatever. So we gotta make sure it's something that's a little bit more amped up. How's that for a lead? And kind of amped up there. But speaking of amped up, at about the 15-minute mark, we're going to have Mike Martinez come in. I was talking to Lance a little bit about him before we went on air, and we're talking about I saw him at Relentless Pro or whatever. Now, this is okay. He was there and Steve Dodge was there. So this is Steve. I'm going to make a quick little story about that. Steve Dodge was at OCCW show. And, you know, he's one of them dudes like, "Yeah, bro, I'm a manager and I'm Big Money Inc. and I got this and that," or whatever. So I was going to put him with Tony and Biggie Biggs when we did a show for UWC. So I said, well, I had a little small spot planned for him. Okay. I don't want to divulge too much, but I had Lance, the fear in this man's eyes, it was like if I was telling him he's going to go meet the head of the mafia or something. I mean, he looked at me like, what are we going to do? Well, you know, so let me put this to Lance real quick. If somebody comes up to you, let's say you're managing me or whatever, and I say, "Hey, man, I'm going to have you do this spot at the end." Do you question it or do you just go with it, or give me your thoughts on that?
There's a couple different variables. My number one variable when I'm looking at, like I said, the example is me and you. The first thing I look at is you and your experience. You have well over enough experience, so I have nothing to question. So that's my first check mark. And if it's me and you, that's the first thing I look for. Secondly, I look for the intensity of the spot. Sometimes people want to go through barbed wire, chair, table. No, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to talk about that, Bobby. You know, I'm up for you, but I'm not doing all that. Unless you need me to, because, you know, you saw me already go through a table. I'll do it. But,
yeah.
You know.
And this comes from the days of when we were training with Pistol Pete. He said, "I would never make you do something that I wouldn't do," or whatever. And that's the same. I would never make you do something that I wouldn't do, or whatever. And I mean, a good example is Nicolette. I mean, she legitimately after, and it was actually John who said, "Hey, why don't you bring the flag out for your dad?" And it kind of took off. And I said, "Well, if you're going to be a manager or a valet, whatever, you got to learn to take a bump. You got to learn to protect yourself, you know, or whatever." So she's taken many, you know, a clothesline from me and, you know, a spear, different stuff like that. So I would never make somebody do something that I wouldn't do myself. So, you know, I can't remember what happened. I think I had him do like a little tiny bump spot or whatever that was so scared to death that it didn't even look real. So when we were at OCCW and he's going, "Yeah, you know," I think he came out with Jimmy Mayhem. I want to say Jimmy Mayhem, but they were wrestling Inferno, and Inferno was chopping the mess out of him or whatever. So old man, I hate to say old man Bill, but Bill Chu was with me, and I can't remember. There was a few people that were around me, and he was just chopping. And Steve Dodge gets up, and he goes, "You don't chop him like that." And I said, "Inferno, I'll put up $5 if you chop Steve Dodge. And then Bill Chief says, I'll put up 20. And then somebody to my left said, I'll put in two. It was up to about almost $40. And dude, he lit him up. I mean, he pulled his shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
And splat. See, Steve, he was so, first of all, he had to get over the pain or whatever, but then he was so mad or whatever. So after it was, I said, hey, I'm sorry, bro. I said, but you know, if you're going to be a manager, dude, you got to be able to take that. And he goes, you know what, Fabi? He goes, at least I could have got some of that money, man. He goes, Inferno got all the money. Whatever. So,
oh, there you go. Yeah. That big money business didn't go so well. It's funny that you talk about him, because we were just speaking with him last week on the show, and he was talking about how now he's running or he's starting up a web seminar so that
right.
way people can learn what to do before you get into the business. And that's a lesson right there from the, not the horse's mouth, but from your own mouth. You know, he wasn't ready. And now, you know, to tell people, you know, you got to be ready. If you want to be a manager,
yeah.
you got to be ready to take the hits. You know, it's not just
yeah.
being a pretty boy. Even valets nowadays get assaulted and stuff, even face or heels, you know? So yeah,
well,
just wanted to incorporate that all
maybe,
in there.
Maybe we can have Sonia do a review. But there's a thing on YouTube where Finn Balor, when he was the head of the Bullet Club, you know when they go to Japan, they have these sponsors. And real quick for everybody listening, we've got Mike Martinez coming up in about 4 minutes. But I just want to see if we could pitch this out to Sonia and give us a review on it. So he was, when he was in Japan, they have these guys that sponsor. You know, they're like, bro, if after the match you come to my steakhouse and eat and have some drinks and just make an appearance and, you know, we'll hook you up and blah, 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 whatever, right? So it was him and Carl Anderson, and the guy wanted to get chopped, the owner of the restaurant, and he's telling Carl, hey bro, you know, I don't want to expose the business, so I got to lay it into him, but I don't want to lose my sponsorship or whatever. Carl's going, hey dude, if he wants you, dude, you got to lay it in. And man, they laid it in. I mean, they laid it in on these older Japanese guys. And then he goes, and do my assistant. And the assistant had to be in his mid-70s, dude. And again, mm-hmm. he's like, bro, I don't want anything. Dude, you got to show him. So he lit them both. And you could tell, you know, the 70-year-old man's like, dude, I don't want no part of this. So if you look at Finn Balor chops, sponsor or something like that, you'll see it. So Sonia, that's your assignment. Please watch that video, and then next week you will get your review on it and tell us what you think, because I thought it was pure gold. And Lance, maybe you can check it out so that way we can bounce that off of you when we can see, because dude, I think, like we were talking about, like you see somebody like Bobby Heenan, man, that dude would when he would take a shot or whatever, I mean, he would do a flip over the ropes, and you know, that dude really put a lot into it. So I would say he was probably one of the top three. So we'll have to take that around the horn later on to see who your top manager pick is or whatever. So real quick, let's go ahead and take, we'll let that marinate for a minute. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Mike Martinez.
Is it all time favorite?
Okay. I'm going to say okay. Cause I don't know. It might have been under Prince something or whatever. What was he before? Prince Devitt? It might
yeah,
be under Prince.
I have it right here on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. No, I already have that up. I'm talking about the I already have that.
Okay. Well, don't let the cat out of the bag yet. If you guys do watch it during the commercial or while we're talking or whatever, and you want to talk about it later, cool. But if we want to save it for next week, you can. But if you watch it, you're going to go, dude, let's talk about it. Sonia's going to go, news a ni madre way. Let's talk about this. So let me take the first break. We'll get Mike Martinez in here, and we'll get his thoughts on that. We'll get his thoughts on managing and what you got to do to be successful. So we'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody.
Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
He was going to say, come and get your photos done and your videos so we can get your pages going. What's it called? OnlyFans or whatever, so we can hook you up or whatever. So, hey, Paul, quick service announcement, man. Hey, I'm getting in shape. Just got to tan up or whatever, so we'll talk later, bro. All right. Sonia, we need to go back over there, right? Lance, did you go to any of the photo the photo things that we had over there? We had a photo of the guys and a live broadcast, and we played cornhole or whatever it's called. And did you go to any of those guys?
No, I need to go to the next one. We need to set one up because you guys already got me jealous of all these opportunities that you guys just want to throw these flashbacks in my face. And you guys remember, you just introduced me as a new part of the team 15 minutes ago. You know, I'm new here. You got to bring me in, bring me to the cookouts, you know, bring me to everything going on.
Yeah, but Lance has been around for a long time, and I see him all the time, so maybe that's why I thought that he came to one. But it's really cool, and a lot of people show up, and we'll talk about that, too. I'll talk to Manny and see if we can head back out there and do another one. And, dude, if you can make me look good in pictures, we're talking, because they use the right lighting and shadows and stuff so you can barely see me. But anyways, so let's give Mike Martinez a call, and we'll talk a little bit about this whole manager thing that we've been discussing. It says that. Okay, here we go. Hopefully he's not on track phone. And hopefully I called the right number. That's what I got.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Wait on 1 second.
Here. Calling a New
I
York
did.
Number.
I did. I texted him. I texted him that it was that I was called. So this is what I'm going to do, which this usually happens. I'll put the call-in number, and then if anybody else who's listening wants to call in and give us your thoughts on managing, you can get in on that. So it is 563-999-3016. Okay. I gave him the call-in number, so hopefully it'll work that way. Sonia, you're the blog talk expert. Do you know what happens and why you put the number in and they don't get it?
I think it's just because people see New York and they don't realize, like, it's us calling. Because every time when I do it, they don't answer at first, and I'll be like, it's a New York number calling, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I ignored it because I didn't expect it to be New York.
Oh, que la fregada, pues. And I did just text him and told him I'm calling you in 2 minutes or
they
whatever.
They think
so
it's scam likely.
That could be. That could be the what's happening or whatever. But let me make a quick.
People are scared of confrontation.
Yeah, let me.
Yeah,
Mike.
Yeah,
Mike. If you got collection people calling, you know, just it's us. Oh, there he is. Look at, see how that worked. Hold on, it's spinning around. Hopefully, he's going to come on. Hey, Mike, it's Fabiano. You're live on UWC Radio. Can you hear me, my friend?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
We can hear you real quick for the people listening. You're here. You're on UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. I'm older than old, so if you want to buy your tickets online, I don't know how you do it. I don't know Venmo or none of that crap, but we have it up there. So if you know what you're doing, you can feel free to go on there and check it out. And I'm here with Lance, of course. I call him Lance Bully because of Bully Zone and all that. So with Lance Bully and Sonia, who Pete used to go, Sonia, like that. So Sonia, and on the line with us right now is Mike Martinez. Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on. Big Lance, how you doing, my friend? Sonia, it's a pleasure to meet you. Just happy to be here.
Well, I don't know if you – did you get a chance to listen to any of the opening of the show, or did you just tune in right now?
You know what? I just tuned in right now. You have to forgive me. I'm at the job that pays the bills right now. So I'm trying to find that balancing act.
I'm gonna tell you something real quick. When I used to work for Kiss and Charisma, Manuel was Kiss. He was the promoter. And I would get these messages on my phone that go, "Hey, Flaviano, is your friend Kiss the wrestler? You call for maybe talk 1 minute, okay?" And then I call him up and I go, "What's up, man?" He goes, "Hey, let's go to Tijuana. You know, we're going to wrestle out there. It's going to be Tuesday." I go, "Dude, I got a day job. I can't go on Tuesday." He goes, "Oh, no, you can quit that job. You're professional. You're professional wrestler." How much are you going to pay me? He goes, $35. You're 35. You got to laugh your mind. So I'm glad that you have your shoot job or whatever. So we will try not to keep you too long. But we were having a big discussion about managers and you know, if you're going to come out with these guys and take care of business, you got to be able to protect yourself, because Lance went through a table and I thought he was dead. I thought I was going to be visiting him at the rehab center or whatever. So real quick, for the people, you know, listening to us on UWS Radio, talk a little bit about what made you get interested in becoming a manager and getting into the wrestling business.
Well, the wrestling business as a whole has always, always fascinated me. I'm not the most athletically gifted person in my family. To that note, my little sister had 8 sacks her first season as a defensive tackle, where I lettered in badminton. Okay, so completely different world. But one thing I was very gifted at and am very gifted at is the gift of gab.
Right.
How you doing today?
Can
you sure can. So
that's live radio.
We got to pay the bills somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
But just being that natural character that I am, and knowing Lance for many years, he can attest that, yeah, you know, we're kind of guys that are cut from the same cloth, where we're not physically built to necessarily be in-ring performers, but we're happy to be a part of the show and a part of the action. And it's a real privilege to represent the talent, but at the same time, yes, you still have to go through the training because,
right.
Yeah, 17. Let me pull that up for you.
Is she looking for the Nike lobsters?
No.
There you go, miss.
Oh, sorry, honey.
We have to know how to fall and add to what the talent that we're promoting and representing are doing. Because if you don't know how to take a bump, it really takes away from everything that everybody else as part of that situation creatively did.
Right. Now, because before, Lance, and I think you can attest to this, they used to have managers come out for wrestlers that couldn't handle the mic. Like, let's take, for instance, Sabu. You know, he had to have Bill Alfonso because, you know, Sabu's gimmick was he don't talk, you know, so he would have to. But now, even though, you know, you're the manager, these guys still can cut a promo. So you have to walk that fine line. Right, Mike?
Yeah, you do. And it's about really partnering with the talent that you're working with. That way you guys could collaboratively make something together. Like, I think Lance is a perfect fit. The Beast of War, if I'm correct.
Right.
And how he represents them, he fits in with them. Myself, when I represent the Sounds of Pain, collectively we all feed off of each other. So it's one big unit. It's an act. When I represent Rilla Wolf, it's a different vibe than when I'm representing the Tim. So it's about kind of pairing up with your talent that you're representing and really feeding off of their emotion and becoming that multiplier for it.
Yeah, yeah. And do you see something that goes, dude, if we do this, this is going to work? Because I'll tell you, I was at a show for Durango out there in Inoki Dojo, and Nightmare came out, and he came out as El Hijo de Trump or something like that, like the Trump's nephew or something. And I go, dude, I'm going to buy this guy a Trump flag and have him come out with it. So I bought him a flag and I put it on a pole and all that. And man, when he came out, they wanted to kill that dude. And so you kind of see something and go, hey, bro, if we do this, man, this is going to work. So if something like that ever happened with you, you see somebody and go, hey, bro, if we do this, man, it's going to create some heat. And it just took off.
I would say one of my first outings was Ronnie Angel.
Yes.
I was representing him at you know what, the name of the organization eludes me, but I know Lance was there. Facing Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a book with him. He had a book and he had a gimmick in the book. There were some wrenches. So he wanted to use the book, right? When I said, don't use the book, hand the book to Inferno, then let Inferno open the book and the referee finds the gimmick. So, and like I said, it's about working with your talent, just seeing what works with them. And ever since then, when I represent Ronnie, the book is there because there's always something
yeah.
you can find in
yeah.
a book.
That's
him
perfect.
Playing an author at times, you got to feed into what that they're trying to pull off. Like with the Tim. He's a Hollywood guy, so I walk around with a bottle of Fiji water for him. Because partway through the match, he's going to say he needs a water break and only the finest for the Tim.
That, you know, that makes sense, but there's a line that I don't think you should go. What's that? Not Johnny Robbie, but what's the girl we saw at Relentless Pro with the red
Savannah
pants?
Stone.
Savannah Stone. Let me write that down. Now,
Savannah Stone.
I went to Relentless Pro, okay? And I saw Savannah Stone and work rate. I'm like, man, this girl's got something. And I thought, man, this girl can go. She's got these people going. But then, dude, she started dropping some F-bombs. She started throwing the middle finger. I have my nephew with me. You know, my nephew's 11 years old. And I'm like, don't pay attention. She doesn't mean it. You know, but so I kind of had to, I was like, dude,
not bad,
she's
though.
Got something. And I don't think she needs that. I think she can create heat without doing that. So real quick, for the people listeners here on UWC Radio, talk a little bit about that. I mean, is there a line that you don't cross? Because I think if you have talent as a manager, as a wrestler, that you don't need that, bro. You can get reel those people in and either send them home happy or send them home wanting to come back and see that person get killed, right?
And I have my kids at all the shows, right? You see my daughter Bella. You see my little Hansel running around. He's so
yes.
hot right now. But there's a fine line and it depends what the promoter wants, what the match calls for. Like, not every match needs color. Not everybody needs to bleed in a match, but if the storyline dictates it and it kind of justifies it, it's acceptable. The same thing with language. I understand a lot of these shows are family friendly. You got to understand when these performers are in the ring and they get caught up in the intensity of the emotions, sometimes a couple F-bombs are going to fly.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to that core character work. I mean, if it's not too egregious, like I don't believe in attacking anybody for health issues, how they identify, religious. Is it okay to when you're playing the heel role, to kind of give the hometown crowd a little heat for their sports team? Totally acceptable.
Right.
Okay, but some of the old school things, like Ric Flair used to call kids fat boys in the crowd, that wouldn't fly today. That's a little
yeah.
too far because now you're attacking the person as a person.
Right.
So I got to say, just use your better judgment and discretion. I can tell you this. I personally know one of the fans that was there, and I could say – Savannah did her job because every time I'm on a card with Savannah and this fan hears about it, she reads me the riot act about Savannah. So,
yeah.
I mean, when you're that bad guy, you got to embrace it, but ride that line between control and insanity.
Right. Right. But, you know, which made a good point, because I've been a heel most of my entire wrestling career. And it was easy for me because I go work at Lucha Show and I'd yell at them in Spanish and say, shut up, everybody Mexican. Like, I can speak both languages and I'm better than you or whatever. So it was easy for me. And if I do an American show, I do the opposite, speak Spanish and say, you know, I'm better than them that way. But, you know, I don't particularly care for MJF either. I don't like the things that I just don't like it. I don't. And then Ricky Starks came out and told him, I was watching I think it was a shoot interview or something. And he goes, you know what, man, it's easy for him to be like that. Because if you're a heel and you do something stupid or you screw up, you know, people, you're supposed to do it anyways. He goes, but try being a babyface. Try being a babyface and get people to like you. He said, now that's the thing that shows that you really got something or whatever. So, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I thought, yeah, man, dude, it's true. I've never been a babyface because to me it's kind of hard because people go, shit. Like, let's take, for example, John Cena. Dude's in shape. He's always come prepared, you know, whatever, and they hate him. The kids love him or whatever. So let's take that around the horn. We'll start with our guest, Mike Martinez. You think that it's easier to be a heel manager than to be a babyface manager? Because when I'm thinking off the top of my head, other than like Arnold Skolin, was there any really babyface managers?
You know, I've been a wrestling fan all my life, right?
Right.
And I can't recall, I mean, maybe outside of Sonny for a little bit, a babyface manager.
Yeah.
Typically,
yeah.
A manager's a heel there to get extra heat, play those dirty spots and distracting the referee, throwing a weapon in the ring for their talent to use, right?
Right.
I can tell you from personal experience, it's fun. It is very fun playing a heel manager.
Yeah.
And it's funny because naturally, like Lance, he's a pretty nice guy in real life. He's a pretty nice guy. But when he turns on that heel mode, you can see where it comes from, and same thing with me. So it gives us a chance to kind of embrace another side of our personalities that we don't otherwise do it.
Right.
And, I mean, it's real easy to upset a crowd, make fun of their shoes, make fun of the hometown hero, make fun of their sports team. tell that guy, is that your wife or your dog? So it's about churning. I can tell you what, though. Depending on the show and the crowd, a heel can turn to a face, and a face can turn to the heel. So it just really depends on the crowd's vibes and what they're playing off of.
Right. Because, you know, Lance, when I saw you go through that table, you know, I thought, dude, he's dead. He's dead. And I'm like, well, why did Buck have to pick on him like that or whatever? So that seemed like that would be the perfect moment for Lance to turn babyface or whatever. So Lance, I pose that question to you, man. I got $100,000 to turn you into a babyface manager. Can you handle it, or would you say, dude, can I get half and stay where I'm at, or whatever? I mean, do you think you can handle something like that?
Let me tell you something. We have completely opposing opinions on this. I think it's way more difficult to be a heel manager.
Yes.
Because there are majority heel managers,
mm-hmm.
and you see, when you're a heel manager, like Mike said, your main objective is to help your client win by any means necessary, whether that's a weapon, distracting the referee. And part of the territory when you're in the match is to demotivate the crowd when they're cheering for their face, to show them that, hey, shut up, stupid, you know, and I'm allowed to say things like that. In this day and age, there's certain things I shouldn't say, but there's things that I say that rile up the crowd. And we want to keep bringing back this match that happened on March 3rd, you know, at the Lucha Pro Arena with the Parkas, and, you know, that moment happened because I had so much heat. If I didn't have that much, I gave the crowd so much heat that if I did not have that spot, I would have not done my job right. I did my job right. I got them hot from the very beginning to the middle of the match. I was only midway of the match. We still had another 15, 10 minutes to go, you know, so I rested after that. But you know what I mean? It just shows in that first half, I got so much heat. I was yelling at fans. They were trying to throw their drinks at me. They're throwing their drinks at me, and they threw it at the person next to me looking stupid, and I'm laughing at them because I didn't touch them, but I got them so hot that they spilled their drink on their friends. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's very hard to be a heel and get to those levels.
Right, and you did your job. You either want to send them home happy or you want them to come back and see you die or whatever. So, Sonia, you know, Pete's always been a heel or whatever. So
yeah.
Somebody, to me, the only person I think they could pull off a face manager is somebody like Dusty Rhodes. Because Dusty Rhodes
yeah.
is cool. And the things that he would say and stuff like that, you'd just be like, hey, man, he's cool, man. He you know, the little things that he would do, I other than him, Sonia, would you agree? Or who do you I think probably Dusty Rhodes is probably about the only person I think that could ever make it as
yeah.
a face manager. What do you think?
I agree because, like, the Hill managers, everybody, you know who they are. Like, I can't even think of a freaking babyface manager other than you and Dusty Rhodes. Like, I've been thinking this whole time since you asked the question,
yeah.
like, who would I compare it to? But,
yeah.
I like the Hills better, though, because I like when people are mean
yeah.
during wrestling.
And that's,
people cry.
That comes straight from Pistol Pete Marquez. You either want to send them people home happy or you want them to come back and see you die. So it's awesome. But real quick for the people, listeners, if you want to go check out Mike Martinez, he's got a ton of stuff coming up. He's got Amped Up. It's going to be June 10th. It's at 3 p.m. It's at 10410 Western Avenue in L.A., and it's free admission. So, I mean, what more can
free.
You ask for? No charge or whatever. Come and check it out. You could see him in person. And he's also Valor Pro Wrestling, One Shot to Glory. That's going to be June 24th. It's at VFW
yeah, right.
Post 2924, and that's 10184 Hesperia Road in Hesperia, California. And the one I'm going to go check out, I don't think I went to the last two, and I have definitely not been disappointed, is Relentless Pro. That's Saturday, July 22nd. At American Legion Post 132, and that's at 143 South Lemon Street in Orange, California. Bell time is at 7 p.m., so definitely going to check that out. Mike, any last words before we let you get out of here, man? I think we covered quite a bit, man. I think people know what managers are all about now.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to kind of dovetail onto what Lance said. For the Hill manager, it's about the fans wanting to see you get it. Finally,
yes.
the babyface hero grabs you by the collar, and you finally get your comeuppance, and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Secondly, I just want to thank everybody that, you know, comes out to the independent shows, whether it's our shows or your local shows where you're at. Please support independent wrestling. The
yes.
talent that perform on the independent circuit are giving it all, 110% every time. They're leaving it in the ring because they
yeah.
want to make it to the big dances and entertain you on a higher level.
Definitely.
If you want to keep up with everything Mike Martinez and Triple M, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at 3PLEM84.
3PLEM84. Okay, perfect. We'll give that out at the end of the show. But, hey, man, we appreciate you coming on. I look forward to seeing you at Relentless Pro. So for the people checking us out, man, you got to go down and check these indie shows out, man. It's true, like he says. Those guys are wrestling their hearts out to try to get to that next level. So they're making 100% effort. But, Mike, a million thank yous for coming on, man. We'll see you soon. All right, my friend?
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Until we meet again.
You got it.
Hey,
Mike
Sonny,
Martinez, everybody.
I'll see
go
you
ahead.
Saturday.
Oh.
It's a little joke between us.
Okay. I was going to say, this is something going on. I'm out of the loop. All right. We'll be right back with Sonya News after this. Mike Martinez, everybody. Make sure you check him out. You know what we got? That's beautiful. We got Sonya's news coming up. But real quick for the people listeners, you're here. Yeah, UWC Radio. Don't forget you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all the latest information. Sonya, I had a meeting with Manny, of course, and he's like, bro, we got to get Sonny Ono on. We got to get Mr. Mexico. And we got to. And I'm like, dude, let me, you know, I got to get things kind of in order first. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're going to have somebody like Sonny Ono on or whatever, I got to make sure that like all the ducks are in order or whatever, because I don't want to
yeah.
go, dude, who, you know, and I'm sorry, Lance, because, you know, you're just, you know, coming on with us or whatever. But when we went to, we had D'Lo Brown on, And, you know, I made sure, you know, because of course I know who D'Lo is, but, you know, what's happening with him now and, you know, stuff like that. And it was very insightful. So when we saw him at WrestleCon, I'm like, D'Lo, what's up? He's, hey, bro, man, thanks for putting me on. It was great. You know, if you want to come, hey, did you want to check out, what's his name, Papa Shango? What was his other character? It's a shame that I don't know that, but I know him as Papa Shango. The Godfather. He goes, he asked
I'm trying
me
to think of the
show.
Other one, the boxing one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Godfather.
Kava or something. Kava something. But anyways, yeah. I was going to say karma, but that's bad karma. But he's like, yeah, bro, go on the show. You know, it's really cool. So we just got to make sure that, you know, everything is good to go. So we definitely will be having, you know, we talked about Sonny Ono. We talked about Mr. Mexico. We talked about Tugboat and stuff like that. So, you know, we just got to make sure that we're good to go. So with that being said, as before we get to Sonia's news, I got to tell you, man, I mean, when I was, this is, I'm old, right? So this is how it was when I graduated high school in 1983 and I was already working at a retail place. And from 1985 on, you know, I worked full time. So I told my mom and dad, I said, look, man, I'll pay the cable bill or whatever, because I want to make sure we get Superstation WTBS and the WWF from Madison Square Garden and stuff like that. So I would literally work the early shift on Saturday so I could come home and watch, you know, the TBS thing and just pray that Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes was going to be on, because they were just freaking amazing. Amazing. So when they had the special just right now, the Dusty Rhodes on A&E or whatever, I'm watching that thing and I'm going, man, I don't think there will ever be somebody like that. I mean, that dude, when you can sell out Madison Square Garden 7 times with Superstar Billy Graham with no internet, very limited TV or whatever, I mean, that's really saying something. I mean, I don't see anybody now or in the near future that even comes close to that type of charisma that as a baby face you could pull people in. I mean, we'll go to Lance first. Would you agree, man?
Oh, yeah, full-heartedly. I mean, that's what WWE and the televising on this day, because that's what I'm talking about, the bigger brands, AEW, WWE, MLW, all that stuff. That's what they're trying to emulate nowadays. They're trying to recreate those stories that make people interested, that make people want to fill up these arenas and show up. Because like you said, back in the day when there was limited television, internet coverage in general, you had to be there to be a part of it. When you saw that flyer and it happened to be in your town, you had to be there. And if you weren't there, you would listen. You'd get a radio coverage or you'd get, you know, the newspaper the next day. So in this day and age, I don't think, like, even with Roman Reigns' impressive over 1,000-day streak, I don't think that's going to that alone, you know, can sell out arenas back in the day.
Yeah, definitely.
And I actually like that 1,000-day ring. A lot of people don't, but I like that ring. But I still don't think that alone could push something like selling out Madison Square Garden 7 times.
Oh, I've seen and done all those documentaries, and Superstar Billy Graham, I watched his documentary and he said that, he goes, after like the fourth or fifth, I thought that, dude, there's no way we can pull these people. And he goes, I got one more thing for you. He goes, it's going to be a Texas bull rope match or whatever. And I thought, what the hell is that? And he goes, and we damn sure sold it out with that bull rope match. So Sonia, I'll ask you, you think there will ever be in now or in the future that could be close to the type of charisma and the way he can draw people in like Dusty Rhodes? Because I can't think of anybody.
No, I don't know. Dusty Rhodes is like his own, like he had his own, like, thing. Well, I don't know, his son, Goldust was kind of close, though, I would say. But I love Cody Rhodes, too. I think his son could do it. I think his son might be able to.
I think a lot of people came to L.A. for Rhodes this year.
For Cody.
I love Cody Rhodes.
For Cody, because they all wanted to see him take it from Roman or whatnot.
I could see them doing it, but I don't see nobody else.
I would agree that if there's anybody even close, it would be him. But real quick, we'll get to Sonya News, but I get on a roll. You know, I never thought I would see him back at WWE. But to me, it seems like, and we'll take this around the horn again real quick before Sonya gets to the news, AEW was different. It was like the wrestlers took over, you know, and you know, you can't let the inmates run the assignment of the asylum, but they had a say-so, and it was cool. Like their first two pay-per-views, All In or whatever, they were really cool, and they brought talent, and it was, and then I guess money-wise, you need a specific amount to get to where you want to get. So they brought in Tony Khan, and then it just switched all over to Tony Khan. Everything has to go through him. Well, if he says no, it's not going to happen. Then it's like, dude, you know. And when we were at WrestleCon, and I was talking to Chris Daniels off the air, I was trying to see if that was the case. But he was, and I can't blame him. He was real tight-lipped because he don't want to lose his job or whatever. But in not so many words, he was like, yeah, bro, we take a lot of stuff to the table and a lot of stuff, you know, some gets approved, some doesn't, and we got to work things out or whatever. And I'm seeing that's what I'm talking about. Now Tony Khan is the Vince McMahon of AEW, and it sucks. It's predictable now. You know, they're starting to do these squash matches and stuff, and Rocky Romero's put over 18 people in 3 weeks, you know, and stuff like that. And it's it's turning exactly what I didn't wanted to turn to. So we'll start with Sonya. Sonya, do you kind of see that? And I think that's why Cody Rhodes went back to WWE.
Yes, I do see that actually. I'm glad he went back to WWE because AEW at that, like, I don't know. I didn't like it after he left. I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the alternative. I mean, I got the pay-per-view, the last pay-per-view, and I'm going to say it was okay. But I mean, a battle royal with 40,000 people, you can't keep people's attention. You just can't. But they got so much talent that you have to throw them all in one match or whatever, because it's just way too much. You're trying to spread it out now with these new shows or whatever. But let me tell you something, Lance. When I went to go see New Japan at the Pyramid, it was the first time we went. Cody and I want to say it was Hangman Page. They wrestled the Samoans. Brandi Rhodes came out with Cody, and Cody was a heel, you know, and they went back and forth or whatever. And Tama Tonga gave him like a sit out power slam or whatever. And he was going to splash him. Brandi came in and covered him, and she's like, no. And he jumped off that third rope and splashed her on top of him. And I thought that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I was like, dude, and they sold it or whatever. And it was like Lance going through the plastic table. I thought, she is dead. You don't see that with him anymore. I mean, well, first of all, when you go to see New Japan, it seems like they're on another level. Like they up their game big time. So Lance, I mean, what do you think, bro? I mean, he's back at WWE, which is cool, but I just don't see that Cody Rhodes that was in New Japan at the Pyramid.
Oh, yeah, no, he's definitely evolved is one way to say it, but he's definitely changed as he transitioned from getting out of WWE to going to New Japan to coming to AEW, you know, those are all different stages of his life. But then now him coming back to WWE, you know, he's not going to be the same as he was in AEW. He's like, he wasn't the same in AEW as he was in New Japan, you know. So it's tricky, you know, when you follow your favorite faces, you know, because your job is to always grow and evolve. And sometimes you're not going to like the direction they're going in. And, you know, that's how some people, you know, they change. And but right now, I think Cody's momentum has dropped since, like I said, everybody really wanted to see him win that WrestleMania match. So now we'll just look at the direction that goes, because since then he's had an injury. Before then he had an injury.
Maybe
we'll see,
because
like you said earlier, if anyone can do it, it would be the Rhodes family that could, you know, have a baby face build up strong enough to stop Madison Square Garden. It has to be the right time, and they're losing me right now.
Yeah, if they take the leash off, I think, and let him go, I think he can do it like they did Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, once they took the leash off, that man went on a tear or whatever. So anyways, it remains to be seen. You know, I mean, you can't blame somebody for going to WWE and making money. I mean, that's why everybody's in line. So, you know, that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. So real quick, Sonya, I know you got about 4 hours of news, but we only have a small window here. So give us some breaking news from Sonya Marquez.
The first one is an announcement. Us at the United Wrestling Council would love to congratulate the owner of Metroflex, Eddie, and his wife for having their baby.
Yes.
His name is Emmett Andrew.
Yes.
And then my...
I don't know if you've seen Eddie's son, who I think he's about, I'm going to say like eight. Dude, it is a little Eddie. He looks I mean, there is no denying that that is his son. He looks and acts just like him and same personality. Oh. But, you know, it's nice to have somebody like Eddie, because when the UWC first came to fruition and they were in Long Beach, we approached and he said, bro, whatever it takes, if you want to come and do this. And he was totally hospitable, and it carried over into the new Metroflex gym. And Lance, you were a part of the last show, and you want to talk about pomp and circumstance. I mean, it was a huge show, and Eddie was a big part of, like, pyro, you know, just to have that, because, you know, you don't want the place to burn down or what. He's like, yeah, bro, let's do this and you guys are fine or whatever, right, Lance? I mean, it was not just a wrestling match, it was a show, right?
Yeah, it was a whole event. Like, it was, the whole arena was dressed to the nines, you know what I mean? And it was more than a show. It was a super show.
Yeah. And it was packed.
That continues to happen.
And I'm sorry. I got to do a quick public service.
There's kids hanging off the arena. Sorry.
let me do this. Manny, Pony Keg didn't cut it, bro. Pony Keg was dry by the second match. Let's get two kegs in there. I guarantee you we could sell them out. All right, thanks. That was one of the things that people came up to me. They're like, dude, the beer was done by the second match or whatever. And I'm like, I don't think he anticipated that many people coming, you know, to the show or whatever. So, hey, man, that's a good thing. You know, when you run out of stuff and it's like, dude, I didn't know, that's a good thing. And it's just going to, you know, continue to mushroom from there. So, Eddie, you know, congrats. A big part of the independent scene as it is, because people start to know that's a great place to run a show. So a lot of people, Lucha Libre Alliance is running there this Sunday. I really wish I could be there, but unfortunately I can't. Speaking of shoot jobs, can't make it on Sunday. So we appreciate that for sure. So anything else, Sonia? What else you got?
And also, which you guys all probably heard about, the Iron Sheik.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's
no.
Right. Real quick, Sonia, give me your thoughts.
Huh?
Yeah, give me your thoughts on
it. I think it's sad because he was one of my favorites because of my dad. My dad really loved him, and I believe he was also one of my dad's first professional fights or rep matches. You know, like it was against the Iron Sheik. So, like, you know, he was kind of important in my dad's career. So I really liked him too. He reminded me of my dad.
And he came in an era where there were some real wrestlers like Bob Backlund, you know, Greg Gagne, Ken Patera, people like that were real wrestlers, and he was like the epitome of it. You know, he came in, dude was in shape, because even Ric Flair said when they were training out there in Minneapolis, he goes, the only one that could hang was the Sheik. You know, he could go and go and go. We were dying going up those stairs, and, you know, it was not, he didn't say it wasn't nothing to him, but he was, you know, able to hang or whatever. Lance, give me thoughts on that.
I mean, that was a different time back then, man. That was a time where if you asked the wrong questions, you would get confronted and addressed. I wish I was born in that era. I mean, that's I'm not trying to just distance where I am right now, but that's back when men were men and you were men of your word, and you made your commitments to your contracts, and not your contracts because you didn't have to be written. You know, you're a man of your word. You're a man of your handshake. You're a man of this and that. And together you made money that way, you know. And that's a time where I wish I could have just been there, even just to, like, peek behind the curtains to see how things were different back then to how they were now.
That's before the curtain was pulled back. You know what I mean? That was when kayfabe was alive, and you disrespect somebody like the Iron Sheik or whatever, you're going to pay the consequences. You know, he did. Now, did either one of you get a chance to see him in person?
No, I don't think so.
Unfortunately,
I don't remember. I don't know.
I don't know if you guys are familiar.
I've met a lot over the years, though, and I don't remember. You know?
Yeah, this is when he was already, you know, hit on the tail end of his career or whatever. But I used to work for this kid named BJ Darden, and he got these guys to sponsor him and help him with some money. We did a show, I want to say in Visalia or whatever. So it was me and the Bomber. Bronx Bomber or whatever, and he was on the card, and I didn't even know, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? And he was so, and Al, Bronx Bomber, he's like, bro, let's go have some beers or whatever, and I'm like, dude, and he's like, yeah, bro, let's go, let's go. He said, okay. He said, let me go to my room. He didn't want an upstairs room because his ankle was, I mean, that ankle was completely, like the side of his ankle was touching the cement. I mean, it was really bad. Ooh. And he goes, well, let me go to my, he didn't want to upstairs. He had to stay downstairs because he didn't want to walk the steps. He said, let me go get cleaned up and then we'll go. So, okay. So I told Al, hey, bro, he's going to have his, yeah, yeah. So Al calls him. He says, hey, you ready? And he goes, Vasir, you ready? He goes, yeah, yeah, I'm ready. So we go, we knock on the door, right? Al's in front of me, not behind him. He opens the door. That man is butt naked. I mean, you get caught like a deer in the headlights. You're like, hey, you ready? And didn't phase out whatsoever because nobody walked around more naked than him. But I was like, dude. So he turns around and he finally throws some clothes on. But, I mean, first of all, that caught me by surprise big time. And so there was a little bar down there at the hotel. And you know me, I'm cheap, man. So Al's buying beers like it's nothing. And I've never seen somebody that can drink, you know, that much or whatever. And he just went one after another. But, I mean, that man had stories. You know, he was telling, like, stories about being free and stories about, like, he almost got killed back in his country for opening his mouth. And he's like, you guys should be lucky that you – if you talk about the president, you're dead. You know what I mean? He's forever. That man held court forever. So just to have that little bit of time for the – which, although it wasn't very long, it was just – the man is just – when you see him, it's like a, like you said, Lance, like a burst of realness. You know, like, this is the real deal. Or whatever, although he was, you know, already towards the end of his career and stuff, but he was still real cool. And just to be nice to us, so he didn't know us from a hole in the ground, he was really cool. So that was my only one interaction with him. I didn't even get to see his match. I think I wrestled Bomber on that show, and I ended up going down to go change, and by the time I came back, they were already done or whatever. So, you know, props to him too, man. I mean, when you see the Sergeant Slaughter biography, he said, you know, that it was so real that they called him from Titan Towers and said, hey, man, you made that turn or whatever. You're getting death threats or whatever. So it's like, dude, you know, that was like they were saying, you know, Lance, that was the perfect timing because you had the Iron Sheik who was waving the Iranian flag and, you know, here comes Sergeant Slaughter, who's like G.I. Joe. And I mean, that just drew money. Yeah. Vince McMahon probably was sitting there going, dude,
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, he should be singing God Bless America and Thank You, Jesus, because everything came at the right time for him. Like, right, Liz? I mean, how lucky can you be, right?
I mean, as someone in that position where you're booking and making money off of certain situations, whether it's political or whether it's in the ring, you know, he was able to pull out of both aspects and capitalize in a huge way. And I mean, everybody won at the end of the day. It's not like Vince was the only one making money.
People weren't so
money,
judgy
so.
Back then.
Yeah, when you have to move your pay-per-view from the L.A. Coliseum because they didn't want nobody to get shot to the L.A. Sports Arena so they can keep it a little more contained, that's the real deal, man. I mean, that's saying something. And they packed the Madison Square Garden a few times, too. I mean, so that's really saying something. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. There's a couple more things I want to go over with you guys. So let me just take one more quick break, and we'll be right back. Hang on, everybody.
All right.
Is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube, Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
And you know, when we got to talk to Paul, because when he says Hulk, do we mean Hulk Hogan, or do we mean the Incredible Hulk, Bill Bixby, or Lou Ferrigno? We don't know, so we're going to have to get that taken care of. But for the people listening to this, you're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out UnitedWrestlingCouncil.com to get all of this information. Got Sonya here with me, and, of course, Lance Bully. Lance, I got to call you Bully, man, because for some reason I just know you as Lance Bully, but we're going to work on that for sure. Because it doesn't sound right to say Lance UWC, right?
Yeah, I mean,
hey, don't
make it used to. We'll transition soon. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we're gonna. It'll come to me one day or whatever. But you know, I got to tell you, we Manny and the crew are actively working on doing a big show in August. So the problem that I'm having is there's so many shows going on that it's hard to start booking people, you know, which is a good thing for the indies because they're getting work all over. I mean, Anaheim Marketplace is running again, you know, and all that. And a lot of people, not just because we're here on the show or whatever. And it's funny because it was Sonya that brought it to light for Guerrero Nuclear. And things happen for a reason. I just happened to go to an OCCW show and I saw him wrestle Inferno. And I said, man, this dude can go, man. I mean, that was like one of the only harder hitting match that I've seen than that match was when I think it was Vito and Alexander Vega, if I'm not mistaken. They did a big match at OCCW outside or something. And I mean, that was two big bulls that went at it. So I said, hey, man, you know, we like your stuff, bro. You got to come down or whatever. So we had him, you know, come down and he wrestled Rickster. And I mean, it was really, you know, really good. And he's just bubbled up since then. Although taking a chair shot that gives you a concussion kind of set us back a little bit. But a lot of people were like, you know, AJ was on our first two shows, you know, and we're thinking, man, this guy can go, you know. So then people were like, well, bro, what's up with AJ? Why don't you put AJ against Guerrero Nuclear? That'll really be, you know, a match or whatever. So I put it out there. People were like, hell yeah, man, let's see that. So we definitely are looking forward to that match, you know. And then after what happened at the other show, Tony Reyes is like, well, you know, I'm the master of the bull rope match. And if Guyam thinks that he's, you know, all that Lucha stuff is out the window, if he's really a man, step up and take me in a bull rope match. And I'm like, oh, so I talk Guyam, and Guyam's like, dude, you know how many bull rope matches? He goes, I've had bull rope matches, bullshit matches. He's just rapping. He's like, you tell him I will be more than
down for everything.
Yeah. So now that's come to fruition. It's going to be Tony and Guyam in a bull rope match. So it just keeps bubbling up. And then I'm like, well, you know, we have a new champion, you know, in Drew Masters or whatever. So, you know, he ended up wrestling Moisilla in a different show. And people were like, bro, we'd like to see him get a shot at that belt. So those matches have all come to fruition. Okay, now what order I'm going to put them in, or Manny and I are talking about putting that in. So it has come to light. We haven't been able to really put much out there because we don't know if we're going back to Metroflex, and Manny has something else planned for a different venue. So he's working that out between the two of them. So as soon as we get that set in stone, then we'll put the wheels in motion and let everybody know exactly what's going on with that. So it is, you know, it's there. We're just trying to get everything put together. So with that being said, I'm going to take this around the horn real quick. There's very few. You know, I pay a lot in my cable bill because I like to watch everything, you know. As a matter of fact, Titan is going to wrestle Desperado in the Super Juniors for New Japan on Access. So now I got to stay up late because I miss it because I'm doing this. So I got to watch it at 10 o'clock. Now, for me to buy a pay-per-view, because they're so expensive now. I mean, you buy a UFC pay-per-view, it's $80. And how the hell that happened, I'll never know. They used to be 30. You know, all of a sudden, Nicolette goes, hey, the Conor McGregor fight. I said, oh, yeah, we should get this. She goes, well, it's $80. $80? It's like, dude, why don't we just go? Yeah, we'll drive to Vegas and go watch it. But so, in other words, for me to put out money to get a pay-per-view, I'll do it if it's the right people. And I think AEW and New Japan have hit the nail on the head because June 25th, that Forbidden Door, it's going to be the first time Bryan Danielson against Kazuchika Okada. And just that alone, I'm like, dude, I'm totally there. So we'll take it around the horn, and I'll start with Lance. Lance, when you see something like that, you go, yeah, I'll pay. There's very few people that I would pay money to see, but that's definitely one. What about yourself?
So I'm a WWE fan, like, first and foremost. So when it comes to the premium live events, as we like to call them,
yes.
I'm definitely on the Peacock Plus, whatever application. I'm paying for that top tier. I don't want no commercial interruptions, you know, no fillers.
Yeah,
I want
to
live broadcast. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, exactly. And that's just because, you know, that's my preference. You know, I grew up on WWE, obviously. But
right.
With something like AEW, and it's a product I don't really know so much or so well, and it's an AEW thing, I'll go to Buffalo Wild Wings or something. I'll watch there while I eat a meal, you know, and it gives me a chance to test it out, you know, test the waters without the full pay deposit. But with all this talk been going on so much, I need to just bite the nail and just jump into some New Japan, and I think I'm going to start this month and, you know, just follow along because I need to dive into the world more, you know. I'm already swimming, you know what I mean, but I need to dive. And so that might be my new goal this month.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make the next New Japan show that's going to come to the Pyramid, but if it does, we got to go. I'm telling you, it is. I think the cheapest ticket's $40, but there's no bad seat in the house. You know, we actually sat on the floor or whatever the last time, but when you start coming up a little bit, it's a little bit better to see because I was on the floor and you could barely see a lot of times when they took it to the mat or stuff like that. And everybody stands up, you know, it's a big mess, but Sonya, now they added Kenny Omega against Will Ospreay. So that, I'm like, dude, now that even sweetens the pot. So with those two matches that have only been announced, I'm totally there. Now, you personally, is there a specific match or a specific wrestler, if they say advertise, that you'd say, I'm getting it. I'm going to go ahead and buy it.
Right now? No. there isn't right now.
Jeez.
They used to be.
Okay.
Right now, like,
I
watch the Red WWE through Peacock, and then most of the things that we will pay for pay-per-view are mostly MMA fights right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that. I mean, it is hot. I mean, and Conor McGregor is just a fool. I mean, he is that's a dude that should have been a wrestler. Yeah, well, I mean, those guys are just – true badass fighters, and I've told you the interactions I've had with Nate or whatever, and they're the real deal. That's just not an act. But Conor
is Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, and Conor is just a character. I mean, that dude. I want to watch it. We've been watching.
Well, I want to punch him.
Yeah, I've been watching The Ultimate Fighter, and he's just a character. Like you can't, you want to see him or whatever, but I'll be honest with you, man, I don't get John Moxley. I'm like, is he hardcore? Is he a wrestler? Is he, you know, sometimes he shaves his chest hair. Sometimes he goes on pants. So you know, it's just, he's all over the place. And I'm like, I don't get it. I just don't. But when we went to New Japan and he came out right by us, you know, cause he comes out of a different entrance and walks through or whatever. I was like, dude, there he is. I mean, it was just so different when you're there. And I'm like, I was trying to get him to beat up Daryl, Legend Daryl, but he wouldn't take the bait. But cause Daryl's right next to him going, Moxie, right here, this dude says, so kick your ass. And, but he couldn't hear me or whatever, but it was really cool. And Wheeler Yuta has got to be one of the most underrated people that I see. I think you just, Lance, and I'll put it out to the group. I think with the right dance partner, you know, if you put somebody with the right dance partner, they will shine. So they put Wheeler Yuta, Moxley, and Imura against Rocky Romero, Okada, and the little pit bull, I forget his name, Ishii, Tomohiro, and it was a match and a half, bro. And Wheeler Yuta really looked good. I mean, he really look good. So I think with the right dance partner, you know, people can really shine. And it was really cool. So that things like that make me spend my hard-earned money to go see it because it was really cool and it was really different. So that's what makes me put the money out or whatever. WWE, I got to be honest, I'm not a WWE fan for some reason, but I do. I think Chad Gable, I pray at night, God, please let his contract be up and let him be a free man because that man is so talented and they bury that dude. I mean, they just bury him. And I think he is awesome. And that kind of turns me off to the thing. I don't want to see Chad Gable, you know, get pinned by, I don't know, whoever, somebody from NXT or something like that. But he's such a good worker. That's why they do it. So that's what I'm talking about. So if Chad Gable went for the belt, I'd buy it. I'd buy the pay-per-view right there. You know he's not going over, but I'd still buy it because a man is just so talented. So that would be my person. So we'll take one more quick around the horn. Lance, what about yourself? If they said this person's going to wrestle for the belt in WWE, you would buy that pay-per-view.
Oh, man. That's a loaded gun right here. But I don't know. It's hard for you to relate because I'm over here looking at that. Because I like WWE. And then I like NXT because I like to look at the newcomers coming up and stuff, you know. So I would love to see a newcomer like Carmelo Hayes. Someone I don't know you guys are familiar with. But that's a guy that puts in a lot of work. And he would, like, if he was going up to WWE and I had to buy, like, a Super Premium Plus match to watch him go against Roman, knowing that Roman's going to be 1,000-something days after, like you said, like, you know he's not going to win, that's the guy I would buy the Premium Live Super Peacock subscription for.
Yeah, definitely. I got to tell you, man, you know, although he gets buried quite a bit, too, Shinsuke Nakamura is just, he's somebody who's got it or whatever. I think if they put him against Roman or somebody like that, first of all, he put on a show, you know, or whatever. He doesn't necessarily have to go over. So, Sonia, as our news person or whatever, what about you? Either Chad Gable or Nakamura, I'd probably go ahead and get it.
I like Chad Gable, but I don't know who Nakamura is.
Hold on a second. I got to do a public service announcement. Manny, yeah, we're going to have to get rid of Sonia. She's not picking up the pace. So maybe we could do some sort of GoFundMe, get her some apps or some sort of something so that we can get her back into the loop. Okay, there you go. I'm sorry. You don't know nothing. What is wrong with you? That dude is awesome.
I have to see his face.
He got moved over to back to Raw or whatever, and he's the mm-hmm. tall Japanese guy with the long hair or whatever, and he does the Kinshasa or whatever it's called, the flying knee or whatever. He's good. He just the same thing, Lance. They got to put him with the right dance partner, and he'll put on a show. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I know this guy. Yeah, I have to see their faces sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. We'll divulge more on that when we come back next week. So next week we'll try to get the guest out there on Monday and Tuesday, which is you know a task in itself. But we'll work on it. So we'll announce the guest and then we'll review. We'll review the what was the video under the Prince Devitt video on YouTube.
Well, I'll send it to the group right now.
Okay, sorry, writing stuff down here.
Yeah,
Prince Devitt. So did either of you guys get a sneak peek of that bad boy yet?
I was watching a little bit, but I didn't get to pay attention because we came back.
You got to watch that whole thing. It is you guys will be like, dude, and then we'll review it next week when they come on here. But I've been in the business for a long time, and I've done, you know, like I never went to WWE or whatever, but I did get to go to Mexico and wrestle a bunch of different people, and I wrestled a different style that got me a lot of good matches. But the one thing I wanted in my life that you cannot buy is one of those Ribera Steakhouse jackets or whatever. And it's like, you know, because I've been friends with Samoa Joe for years, man. I mean, we used to sit in this bedroom back here and watch ECW on the black box and everything. And he's like, bro, I'll just give you one. I'm like, it's not the same, dude. I got to earn it, man. I can't just, you know, receive it or whatever. He's like, all right, dude, I have a few of them or whatever. But anyways, that's one thing that I wish I could have had before I retired because that, like, you can't buy that. You got to earn it or whatever. But who knows? So anyway, so we'll review that. We'll talk a little bit about that. So if you guys watch that, you can let me know what you think. Hopefully, we'll have some more information on the big next UWC show which I believe, you know, Manny's going to kill me, but I want to say August 27th is the date that
yes.
he's talking
yes.
about. But I get so wrapped up in everything, I forget. So August 27th is the date that we're working on. I kind of gave a preview of the matches that we're working on putting together. And as it comes to fruition, we'll make sure we get it out there. And then you can come down and see it for yourself. And then you can come down and see Lance Winters. Who knows? He might go through a bit of thumbtacks. We never know. We just call it
always
as we
ready.
See it. Whatever. So, and, of course, you know, they're working on tag teams and stuff like that. That, you know, he's like, I really want to get the tag team belts and get these tag teams going or whatever. So we'll keep everybody
yeah.
informed and keep everybody into the loop. So real quick, Lance, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Thank you guys for having me. You guys know my name, Lance Winters. You can find me anywhere, everywhere, Lance Winters. Until next time, this weekend, you guys can check me out. Actually, let me just do a quick little plug. You guys can see me. I'm working all weekend. I'm supporting the Beast of War. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Beast of War, all four of us will be together. Lucha Pro Arena this Friday, Florence. Saturday, I'll be tag teaming with Warhog. Not tag teaming, but me and my partner are going off at Sean Black's event. You have it on Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday, Lucha Libre Alliance, Warhog.
Yeah.
Warhog, me and Warhog is tag teaming all weekend. I'm going to be in Warhog's corner as he defends that championship.
I believe he's going against AJ Minot, right?
Yes, sir. You're going to have to tune in and enjoy that excitement.
I wanted to go to that show.
Like I said, I have to do my job and secure the... I have to do my job and secure it. You know what I mean? I have to make sure my champ walks in champ and walks out champ.
That's going to be a match and a half right there. They even went to... AJ even... went to Puerto Escondido to go promote that. And everybody was dressed in cowboy boots and everything. AJ walks in with a black T-shirt, fighter shorts, and some Stone Cold Steve Austin black boots, some mud stompers or whatever. So we definitely look forward to that. And if Lance gets in the way, man, AJ's crazy, man. He might just, you know, hit him with a Samoan shooter or something like that. So you definitely want to go down and check out that show. Sonia, what about yourself?
I'm not doing nothing. I'm just chilling.
Well, you're definitely going to be doing something because we need you to check out that video of Prince David chopping his sponsors in Japan. It is awesome. You got to check it out. So with that being said,
I will watch that. I love when people get chopped.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know when we're going to meet again. Probably not this weekend, but maybe next weekend. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. Hopefully we'll have some more information on the show. So a million thank yous to Lance and Sonia, of course, for coming and hanging out, man. It's always good to talk. Manny's always like, give them a chance to talk, Dan. Stop talking. So there we go. Hopefully we got a little bit more in there. So we'll divulge on all that next week, and we look forward to seeing everybody next Thursday. With that being said, I'll see you guys.